Good morning, everybody. And welcome to Christian Service Sunday. We welcome everybody, and you're all invited to have a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service through in the small hall. Can I just highlight some of your intimations? Today is the deadline for the October parish record. Any items to Audrey, please, by today. The Kirk session meets on Tuesday at 7. We have the funeral of John Murdoch on Wednesday at 10. The midweek worship's now back in business, 11 o'clock on a Wednesday. We have the prayer group on Thursday at 10:30. The guild's now started again, Wednesday night, 7:30. The Glasgow Children's Hospital will be highlighted this week. On Friday, we're back with the adult Christian education in Audrey's house. And next Sunday is our Harvest Thanksgiving service. Just one other thing I'd like to highlight. I ordered these on Amazon. These are magnifying sheets. A lot of folk have magnifying glasses that can read two or three words at a time. But it's quite handy if you've got a sheet to give you the whole page at a time. You can get it that size, or you can get it that size, or even bigger, that size. You can get it magnified twice the power, three times the power, and other multiple factors. They're not very expensive, so they are available if you just Google it on Amazon. But if anybody would like any of these ones, I bought them for you, not for me. So please see me any time, and I can show you them. You can try them out, and if you like them, you can have them. If you know anybody that would benefit from them as well. I mention that because today is Christian Service Sunday. It's amazing how we can do just little things to make big differences. Jesus reached a cross to us. Jesus reached a cross to us. Let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory in hymn 162 in the White Book. From heaven you came, the servant king. 162.
Thank you.
You've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. What was the name of the original Good Samaritan? Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we praise you for your tender, personal love and care. You are the original Good Samaritan. You cross the road to help us. You come down from the glory of heaven to be down to earth with us. You come down off your high horse and you kneel beside us in the gutter. You bandage our wounds and soothe our fears. You calm our anxieties and you heal our hearts. You provide for all our needs and more. We thank you for your presence, for being with us in the boat when we face life's storms. We thank you for your love, for laying down your life to rescue us. We thank you for your help, for carrying us when we're too weak to stand on our own two feet. We thank you for enabling us to help other people in their times of need. Merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for all the times when we're blind as bats and can't see people in need all around us. Forgive us when we turn Nelson eyes and just walk away. Forgive us when we sit silent instead of standing up and speaking out against injustice. Forgive us when our hearts harden and we suffer compassion fatigue. Forgive us when we withhold the helping hand and the listening ear. When we fail to be our brother and sister's keeper and fail to be good Samaritans. And we fail to love our neighbor as ourself, and we fail to love one another as you have loved us. We thank you that you remain faithful to us even if we fail you. And as far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove our transgressions from us. You wash us whiter than snow. You put a new and right spirit within us. So, Lord, fill us with your loving, caring, forgiving spirit even now. Bless us in this time of worship and lead us out into another week of service for you. Let us be the channels of your love and grace. Let us be your hands and feet and voice. Let us share in your ministry of healing and helping. Work in us, work through us for the enrichment of everybody around us. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the Sunday school's officially off this week, but it's nice to have everybody with us that we have. I woke up early this morning. Well, no, not so early. I woke up this morning with a jolt. I was having a nightmare. In my dream, I was in Irvine. I don't mean Irvine's that bad, but I was having a nightmare which happened to have me in Irvine. And I was in my red car. And I was down at the seafront, and it was a raging storm. And on all four sides of me, the waters were raging. The sea was rough. It had come over the promenade. It was another three sides of me. The bit I was at was dry, and I was safe in my car. But me and my car were not very safe if anything got any worse. And at that point, I was reaching to the cubbyhole in the car to get my mobile phone, dialing 999. Which service do you require? Anybody, anything, help. And then I woke up. Well, it was raining outside, it was a bit windy, and there was a bit of a storm. This apparently is the remnants of a hurricane. Imagine what it's like when you really are in a hurricane. in the Bahamas and the Caribbean islands at the moment. But there are all kinds of storms in life. People are in a storm of grief, or addiction, or in constant pain, or domestic abuse, have mental ill health issues, aging, dying. There are lots of nightmares for real. Each Christian, we as a congregation, as Saltcoats North Parish Church, the Church of Scotland, and the whole Christian Church, are really God's emergency service. When people cry help, God helps, but he helps through human agents, us. People press their alert buttons, and God sends us round. They dial 999. We are the emergency service. People have breakdowns. We are the breakdown service. People feel that they're drowning. We are Noah and his ark coming to rescue people who are drowning. People feel embattled, the wagons in a circle surrounded by the Indians. We are the cavalry coming over the hill sent by God. We can feel under fire and embattled and in our trenches. We are the people whom God sends to help other people when they're embattled. We are his Salvation Army. We can do a lot individually to help other people. We things make a big difference. A smile, a hug, a word, a gesture. But we can do a whole lot more when we work together. You saw this week with the protests around the world about climate change. There was one girl in Sweden, she started it. But more than one person, if we all get our act together, it's amazing. There's more chance of changing the world through lots of people all getting together than there is waiting for the politicians to make the right choices. The Church of Scotland has a whole social work division called Crossreach. It's the biggest social work program in Scotland, next to the government. The church has a history of pioneering things which the government then picks up and takes over. It was Christians like ourselves who pioneered education. It was John Knox who wanted a school in every parish so people could read and then read the Bible. We have pioneered healthcare. We've pioneered lots of things. This year, Crossreach is celebrating its 150th anniversary. Crossreach does many things, but one of the things is South Beach Care Home at the seafront in Ardrossan. It's celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. So 150 years ago, in May 1869, the Church of Scotland Social Care got all organised. Today, Crossreach has 10,000 clients every year. It has a budget of £45 million. Your offering this morning, every week, some of it goes towards the work of Crossreach. We put away thousands of pounds every year to support this work. The Care Inspectorate last year monitored 55 particular projects. 96% of them were rated good. 71% were very good or excellent. South Beach Care Home got the highest score it's possible to get. If you're interested in it, you can sign up for a Crossreach supporter package. And they will send you the Crossreach news. I have copies here. There's also a prayer diary, and it tells you about all the work, and you can pray for it day by day. And it has leaflets telling you about different things. If I just pick out a paragraph A new landmark appeared on Erskine's waterfront last August, a purpose-built independent school for young people unable to take part in mainstream education. Or the bungalow is a residential care home to five individuals with profound and multiple learning difficulties and complex health needs. The service focuses on making a positive difference to the lives of the people who live there, as well as their extended families. April 2018 marked the launch of a special Crossreach project, Join Up the Dots, supported by the Church of Scotland Guild. This three-year project will address the scourge of loneliness and social isolation. The Guild does a lot of good work with many projects. The projects under Crossreach includes care homes for the elderly, care homes for dementia sufferers and their families, residential homes for people with mental health issues, support for people with special needs and learning difficulties, counselling centres like the Tom Allen Centre in Glasgow or Simpson House in Edinburgh. They do thousands of clients a year. There's a waiting list to get in. There is accommodation and support for adults recovering from substance misuse and addiction. We have a link person in the congregation, that's Ray Reid. And Ray is currently promoting the Crossreach 2020 calendar and the Christmas cards that they sell. I know it's a bit early for Christmas and New Year, but the orders have to go in about this time of the year. So if you're interested in a calendar or the Christmas cards, you'll see them in the small hall. Please have a word with Ray and place an order. We as a congregation are our own little version of Crossreach. So the minister, the elders, and each member, we are ready to help in Jesus' name. We're willing to go round to people's houses and sit with them and share the valleys together to be a helping hand. When people want God, and he's so invisible and up there, it seems, God has to have boots on the ground. And we are his hands, his feet and voice. And he sends us round and we do what we can. Sometimes we do it singly, but sometimes we can do it together as a team. We are the Christ ones, the Christians. And today we're focusing on Christian service. So let's sing together our next hymn. Jesus bids us shine, individually and together. 488. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from James chapter 2 at verse 14. My brothers and sisters, what good is it for someone to say that he has faith if his actions do not prove it? Can that faith save him? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in you saying to them, God bless you, keep warm, eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. But someone will say, one person has faith, another has actions. My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. And verse 20, faith without actions is useless. And verse 26, so then, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without actions is dead. And reading from Luke chapter 10, at verse 30. I'm sorry, Harry, if I gave the wrong reference. Jesus answered, there was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked on by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along, went over, looked at the man, then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was travelling that way, came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he told the innkeeper, and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him. And Jesus concluded, which of these three acted like a neighbor? The teacher of the law answered, the one who was kind to him. Jesus replied, you go then and do likewise. And finally, from 1 John chapter 4, at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And verse 19, we love because God first loved us. If someone says he loves God but hates his brother, he is a liar, for he cannot love God whom he has not seen, if he does not love his brother whom he has seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: whoever loves God must love his brother or sister also. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing from the White Book, number 411, Let There Be Love Shared Among Us. We could sing it twice through. Sing it twice. Thank you. So on this Crossreach Sunday, we're celebrating all the work that's done in the name of the Church of Scotland and in the name of Jesus Christ. And the most exciting thing is that each one of us is a little Crossreach. Each of us can just reach across in the name of Jesus, and we can touch someone else's life and make a slight difference. And all the little slight differences add up to a whole life in ministry. Isn't that a wonderful privilege and opportunity to use your creative imagination, to have your antennae up and see things and fix things? The work of caring is done at every level. There's the individual level, there's us as a congregation. We're here in this community. We're surrounded by 5,000 people in the parish. We've got 3 towns. We can together make a difference. And it's great how the Church of Scotland in the nation of Scotland has helped to shape the nation that we are and will do in the future. And it's great to think that we're part of a worldwide church. Just this week, the global activists, the climate change activists, are discovering the excitement of protests all around the world, 5,000 of them in different places. The church has been active all around the world for centuries. It's not a new discovery for Christians. I've enjoyed going around the world seeing the church in other countries and seeing what they do, seeing the problems they face that are the same as ours, the same restrictions, limitations, and see what they do about it. But at the end of the line of all of that, it comes down to one person, me. What am I going to do? I maybe told you this before, but I love this story. In my dad's church in Lanarkshire, there was 2 neighbours. And they were sitting having a cup of tea together. One of them was a church person, one of them wasn't. And the one that wasn't a Christian was saying, "Hey, what's the church ever done for me? What's God ever done for me?" Her neighbour, without saying a word, stomped out. She came back a couple of minutes later wearing a hat. And she sat down and continued her tea. And she says, "For 22 years, I've been in and out of your house, and obviously you haven't put it 2 and 2 together that I come not only as your neighbour, but as a Christian, a member of the local church. And I've been visiting you faithfully." People sometimes think we're a great guy or we're not a great guy. We're a good neighbour or not a good neighbour. Do they ever realise that the other hat we wear is that we're Christians? For good or ill, we're either a good advert or a bad advert. But when we do what we don't just do it because we're nice. We do it because we're serving Jesus. And we want him to get the glory rather than us. We do it in his name. As a congregation, we do already do a lot. It's just we don't make a song and dance about it. Don't underestimate how precious it is to have an elder visit faithfully year in, year out. It's like a referee, if they do their job well, you don't notice them. Sometimes the Christians do their job so well, it's hardly noticed. Maybe we should fly the flag a little bit and give God some of the glory here. I would encourage you to get involved in bringing the needs of the world to God in prayer. Personally, privately. But together. That's why we have church intercessions, midweek worship services, Thursday prayer group. And then the other half of the rhythm is that we take God's grace and love and mercy and power to the needs of the world. And we each work together or singly doing that. Praying and serving go together. We read in that reading, faith and actions. And it's not one does faith, one does actions. I've had folks say that to me. There's the holy willies, they can do the praying, and I'm more the practical hands-on, I'll do the serving. You cannot minister for long without burning out unless you recharge your batteries. You cannot be all giving out and not taking in if you don't Bible study. You can't be all holy willy either and do nothing about it, or you just get fed and never use the calories. It's getting the balance of work and service, of work and serving and praying and building up. Who cares is us, but who are we when we're doing it? We are not just serving like Jesus did. He healed people. He befriended people. He said a kind word to people. And we just copy his example. We actually are Jesus. His hands, his feet and voice. His mouthpieces. His practical help. If God wants a screwdriver to turn a screw, he needs our hands to do it. The story of St. Francis and the leper. When St. Francis met a leper that nobody would touch, and he gave the leper a hug, and the leper saw, I'm sure, in Francis, the face of Jesus. And how did he manage to hug the leper? Because he saw in the leper the face of Jesus. He wasn't hugging a leper, he was hugging Jesus. If we could see the face of Jesus in one another, we would give more help and we would accept more help, because we struggle both ways. And the world would go round. If it only goes one way, oh, I never take any help, I always just do the giving. Or if I always take help, but I'll never give, the world doesn't go round. It comes down to Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Comes down to singing as you did, Jesus bids me shine. And why should we do these things? Well, real carers don't need to ask that question. They just do. How often have you seen on the news item someone did something amazing? The last one I remember was up at Fraserburgh. Someone was drowning. Two surfer girls dived in to rescue him, and they said, we didn't think about the danger, we just did it. It's a natural impulse if you are a good Samaritan. It's an alien concept if you're not. But it's an instinct that you train, you practice it. We don't need reasons really, do we? But if you want a good reason, look at the Bible passages. James chapter 2. Faith without deeds is dead. Don't just mouth the right words. Prove it with some action. We hear a lot today about assisted suicide, helping people to die. What we could do with is helping people to live. We are God's home helps, his carers that he sent to bring up his children. We are the instruments he uses. And see if we don't. Jesus was quite strong in his language in Matthew 25. Feed the hungry, give a cup of water to the thirsty, invite in strangers, clothe the naked, look after the sick, visit those in prisons. But see if you don't. Instead of eternal heaven, you have eternal punishment. 1 John 4. Whoever loves God, whom he has not seen, must have loved his brother, whom he does see. It is a matter of serious life and death for the needy world. If people don't stand up and take action and do things, there'll be tremendous suffering. Hell on earth. But there's tremendous rewards when you do. Well, what can I do then? Well, in Jamaica, I came across two sayings. If you can't do everything, just do something. Don't curse the darkness, light a candle. John F. Kennedy in his inauguration address. Don't ask what America can do for you. Ask what can you do for America. Some people are always sitting back waiting on somebody to do something to fix it for them. If it's not the council, it's the government or God. John F. Kennedy went on to say, some people ask, why should I, or why? Others say, why not? You have to take a risk now and then. You know, you can butt in. I did it last night on the beach. I butted in. The guy was polite, but I got butted off. But another time you butt in, and they are grateful for the interruption. We have to cultivate the eye to see where the need is. As a student, I went to enroll in the local health service, but it coincided with all the other students, the first week back at university, all trying to register at the same time. So as I went into the GP practice, it was hooching with people. And a bit of mayhem as we're all filling out forms and going up to the desk. And then in came somebody with blood pouring down their face. You could hardly see their eyes and they could hardly see for the blood. They'd obviously been hit over the head with a weapon or an instrument, and they were in a distressed condition. And as they walked into the crowd of folk in the foyer of the GP practice, the receptionist looked out and said, who's next? And everybody said, he is. We live in a world where there's a lot of problems. I reckon if you stood still on the street for 2 minutes, you would see your first Good Samaritan job. But you need eyes that are on the lookout. And some people see the needs, but you need a heart that cares. And then you need to have an imagination to think of creative solutions. What can I do in this predicament? And then you need the will to go and do it, to risk it, butt in. The Good Samaritan wasn't asked for help. He just saw the need, crossed the road, he got involved. An awareness, a heart, a mind, and a will. The whole being has to be in tune on that wavelength. None of that's automatic or natural or the way the world works. That's a trained response. Indeed, it's a gift from God. He gives us a loving heart. He gives us eyes to see. He gives us guidance what to do. It's amazing how you do get clever ideas when you need them in a hurry. And he gives us the strength and the courage to do it. But we have to be willing to be used. And it's before the crisis happens, you sign up. A lifeboat man was telling my dad, we face 60-foot waves. And as you crash into a wave, you can't see through it. And you sometimes wonder, why am I doing this? And then you get through the wave, and then there's another one, and another. The decision to do it is on dry land, when you sign up to be a lifeboat man. You don't really hum and hay with every wave. We sign up to serve Jesus Christ right here where we are. The last thing is, you need a green light. Sometimes I've looked at a situation, I've thought I might be able to do something here, and I've backed off because I didn't get the green light. But another time, I say to God, will I, won't I? And I get the green light. When I get the green light, I go. It's not an exact science. And I must say, I don't get it 100% right. But those who are primed, looking for the green light to come, it will come. Jesus is the minister. We are just the assistants. He is working in this community, and he will work in us and through us. If we are ready to be used, it won't take very long before you get jobs to do. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming and reaching out to us. We thank you for calling us to your service, for the privilege of working in your name and your service, and the joy of being able to make a difference in the world in which we live. So take our gifts now, take our time, our talents, our money, all the gifts that you have given us, and use them in your service, we pray. Amen. Now let's sing hymn 485 in the Red Book, Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak. And we'll miss out verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed the Good Samaritan, and you care for us. And we thank you for all the people in our lives who have cared for us as Good Samaritans. And we thank you for the privilege that is ours of being Good Samaritans to others. It's estimated that in Britain, 1 in 8 people is a carer. In your kingdom, 8 out of 8 is a carer. 100% of us. We thank you for the joy of being able to put our faith into practice, of practicing what we preach, being good Samaritans, loving our neighbour as ourselves, being Christ-like, being servants of Jesus to others. You are the servant king. We thank you for all the good work that's done by Crossreach, with the elderly, with dementia sufferers, people with mental health needs, special learning difficulties needs, people who need counselling, people with addiction problems. We thank you for all the support you give to people with epilepsy, offenders who are trying to get rehabilitated in the community. We have supported accommodation. All kinds of things. We give thanks for the hundreds of employees that are involved. And we pray for your blessing, particularly here for South Beach Home, celebrating their 60th anniversary. We pray for Margaret Cassidy, the manager, who's been there for so many years now, worked up from cleaner to manager. And we pray for the church here. We pray for your blessing on all the elders in their districts, for all the pastoral care visits that go on between members, for all that we do for non-members. We give thanks for our organisations and groups and prayer group. We give thanks for all we're able to do in a wider sphere through Christian Aid. And we just thank you for our own little ministries known to us ourselves. Lord, we bring to you this weekend our particular prayers. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Peggy Gilfillan next door, who's very ill. We pray for Morag Conway in the hospital. We pray for Margaret Curlett, Ruth Cowan, for Sylvia Bell. We pray for Gloria Smith and Betty McCubbin, Robert Howie, Sheila McClellan, Dora Scott, Harry Duff. And we pray for your comfort and peace on all those who are bereaved. We especially think of the family and friends of John Murdoch, whose funeral is here on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We pray for the wider world. We think of the 5,000 climate change protests all over the world on Friday. We think of the Bahamas and the Caribbean islands recovering from Hurricane Dorian. We think of Saudi Arabian oil wells having been bombed. It's a loss of 5% of the world's oil. Iran being blamed. America supporting Saudi Arabia. China and Russia are supporting Iran. And Arabia and Iran are already fighting in Yemen. We pray for the people in Yemen, 24 million of them needing emergency aid. We think of Afghanistan with its 40-year war. More people are being killed every day in Afghanistan, 74 per day. That's more than in Yemen and Syria combined. And we think of the people in Syria, in Idlib province, 3 million Syrians trapped in atrocities. They are targeting hospitals with the bombing. 40 hospitals have been bombed. 92 people were killed at a wedding. One woman was filmed on the news. She's a grandmother. She's looking after 40 children because the parents have been killed. She's sitting with a shotgun. We think of the protests in Hong Kong every weekend. And we think of that woman, Sarah Thomas from America, who swam the English Channel 4 times this week, 130 miles in all. We give thanks for what resources you give us to take on impossible tasks sometimes. And we pray for your church. We pray for Beath Parish Church and the minister, Roddy MacDonald, and the deacon, Fiona Blair. But bless all your people everywhere in your service. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is 428, Lord of Creation. 428 in the Red Book.